Actually, I have woken myself up singing the national anthem on more than one occasion.
Wow.
I know.
Do you stand up?
No, but I do, like, my arms go out, apparently. Okay. Like, the rocket's red blare. Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. Do you kneel? I mean, I guess it depends on...
No,
you know,
I'm just, like, I'm awake laying. And, like, gesticulating. Yeah.
Like, if you're asking Elise to sing the national anthem, she's going to need a bed.
Yeah, maybe asleep.
A bed and some sleeping pills, maybe a little eye mask. Yeah.
Give me some melatonin.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor Dave Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still patriotic.
Yes, okay.
Whoa.
Still. Yeah. We're recording this before an election. Maybe maybe you want a disclaimer.
Right, yeah. Disclaimer. I don't know what about, but seems safest.
Yeah, so this is disclaimer, this is an episode that we're pre-recording before Patrick goes on paternity leave to be released at a later time.
Yeah.
So who knows what the state of our country is when we release this and whether or not Elise will actually be patriotic at time of release.
Yeah, so we can say...
You can come find me and ask me.
America, great place. Look to the future, you know, Shining Hill or America... Mm-hmm.
Dystopian.
Oof, yikes. We had a great run, everybody.
Tough to say.
Choose for yourself which one of those two things you want us to kind of think about.
Choose your own adventure. Mm-hmm. Ooh, we should do a choose your own adventure podcast.
That's going to be tough with the pre-record.
We'll figure it out. I'll map it out. We'll get it.
Next live episode.
Yeah.
Whenever that happens.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
We'll do it while Patrick's gone.
We can do a vote. A vote. Where do you want us to go from here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's jump in to our news story. How do you feel about art museums?
Fine.
It's really good. Yeah. We learned not too long ago that David does not like non-realistic art, like impressionists.
Yeah,
is not his thing.
Yeah, it's fine. I want art to be what it is. I don't want to look at a thing and have to like figure it out for myself.
It's too much work.
I'm not interested.
In art museums at all?
You know, if like I'm going to a museum, I want to see dinosaurs, if I'm being honest.
What if it's an art museum of dinosaur paintings?
Okay, you know, interest peaked. So, like, that's not really, you know,
that's not a niche.
I'm a George Costanza guy where like he says, I don't understand art.
Yeah, sure.
I need somebody to explain it to me.
Yeah.
And then I need somebody to explain the explanation. Like, and I get it. Like, I don't get it. Like, okay, it's. Sure. It's either like, okay, that looks like a thing that it is, or that doesn't look like a thing that it is, and I don't get that. I get it less, right? You know, like, all right, but I got an art story for us.
Okay.
Oh.
It's just going to be about a guy named Art.
Yeah.
Art Vandelay.
Vandelay Industries.
An Italian artist auctioned off an invisible sculpture.
Oh, I heard about this guy.
For $18,000.
Yeah.
It's made literally of nothing.
Yep.
Yeah. I would love to have the weight as an artist to be able to auction off nothing for $18,000.
$18,300 to be more precise. You know.
Oh, gosh.
Get that tax break.
I know.
Yeah.
Don't go to art school, they said.
67-year-old artist Salvatore Garrura sold an immaterial sculpture, which is to say that it doesn't exist.
How did he pull this one off?
That is a great question. Like, maybe they like, hey, we need this art by like next Friday, and he waited to the last minute. And he's like, oh, jeez, I got nothing. Like, and like, yeah, he just spun it, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's an Emperor's New Clothes situation. It's, you know, right. You're covered in beautiful clothes. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see it? I can see it.
I think less than, okay, the artist is saying, this is a sculpture of nothing. Whatever. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody's like, $18,000. I need that nothing.
That's right. What I want. I want this thing.
What is happening?
That's a good question. Is this the first time in history that someone has sold nothing for $18,000?
Well, no.
Can't be. Yeah. Yeah.
People buy NFTs.
Yeah.
See?
Or I think some people like pay to like name a star after you. That's nothing. That's nonsense. Like.
I think it's kind of cute.
That star is forever, Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That star died a long time ago, right? If we're saying
it could be. Yeah. Yeah.
Just like the love between me and my eighth grade girlfriend.
And no astrologist is like, what's that star? I'm like, oh, that's the Elise McCarter star. She paid $50 100 years ago to name it after herself. Nobody's doing that. Like, nobody, no, no astronomers thinking those things.
All the good stars got sold.
Yeah.
Right.
I got to slum it with what's a bad star.
What's it going to cost me to get the sun named after
right.
me?
Yeah.
It's going to be quite pricey, I imagine.
I want the naming rights to the sun.
Right.
Yeah. The lucky buyer went home with a certificate of authenticity and a set of instructions.
Instructions?
What were on the instructions?
The work, Pergura, must be exhibited in a private house in roughly 5x5 foot space, free of obstruction.
Obviously.
I got some invisible art then in my house.
Yep.
Right. I got some empty space. It's my invisible art. There you go.
Oop, sorry. That was...
All right. When I decide to exhibit an immaterial sculpture in a given space, this is the artist, that space will concentrate a certain amount of and density of thoughts at a precise point, creating a sculpture that, from my title, will only take the most varied forms.
What is he talking about?
Mm-hmm.
This is, I need somebody to explain the explanation. Because I don't get it.
Is he suggesting that he's like putting some sort of psychic energy into your space?
Into the nothing?
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't want your psychic energy.
Yeah.
If you thought this was artsy claptrap, I do. He goes on to draw a rather lofty comparison of the work. After all, don't we shape a god we've never seen?
Okay.
I didn't pay $18,000 for that god.
I know. I'm pretty sure I was born with that.
Yeah.
I don't dig it. I'm
not,
out.
Not in for this. Yeah. Would you go to an art museum with nothing? You know, just like a bunch of...
an empty room.
Just a bunch of sculptures of nothing.
I can't say that I would.
No.
By the way, speaking of sculpture, since I know we're pre-recording this came out months ago, did you see the Dwayne Wade sculpture in front of Miami?
No, I did not. In front of Miami?
In front of the Miami basketball arena.
I did not.
This means nothing to me.
He's a basketball player. I'm going to pull it up on my phone. Google it if you've not seen it. It is bad.
Not a good sculpture.
What
of Dwayne
about
Wade?
It is bad?
Well, it looks bad, and it doesn't look like him.
Okay,
so
that's 0-2. Oh. That's kind of what a sculpture's supposed to do, is look like the person.
So,
unless it's a nothing, then I guess I do.
Do we have a picture of Mr. Wade with the sculpture so we can...
Side-by-side comparison here.
Okay, there's him on the left, and there's the sculpture.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nah, that ain't good.
Yeah
it's bad.
It does look like somebody. Who does that look like?
It looks like Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes, it does. Yeah, that's absolutely who it looks like.
He looks like he's welcoming you into the Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah. I chose the red pill.
Right.
Yeah. It's bad. It's a bad sculpture. It's really bad. Yeah.
Sorry, Dwayne.
The Romans made pretty good sculptures. How are we behind on the Romans?
That's a good question. Yeah. Well, maybe it's because we've been investing our energy in invisible sculptures, and so we've kind of gotten out of the practice of things.
Yeah. All right. If you are interested in invisible sculpture,
I've got one for you.
I got one. Yeah. And it's a bargain.
Yeah.
They're charging $18,000. I'm $1,800.
Yes. Sure.
10% of that cost. I will
a 90% sale.
I will deliver through the mail.
Yeah. I will send it to you.
Right. Your psychic energy.
I'm shipping it to you as we speak. So.
Send me your $1,800.
Yeah.
Really. $18, you know, like $1.80. You talk me. I'm here to negotiate.
You're at the start of your career, so.
All right, let's do our main topic here from Relevant.
Okay.
By Eddie Kaufholz.
Ooh.
They use white text for their things on a picture. It's not easy to read.
Yeah, that's true.
All right,
Eddie Kaufholz.
Eddie Kaufholz. I think it could be some of the words.
Like cough holes.
It's not calling my mouth. It's my cough hole.
Oh yeah, that that's tough. Cough holes.
Cough holes. Yeah. K A U F. First off, okay. K A U F H O L Z. Cough holes.
Cough holes.
Cough holes. It's probably cough holes.
Cough holes. No, cough holes.
All right, we'll be back next week with more Beyond Sonic.
I like the idea of referring to our mouth as our cough hole.
Our cough hole. My cough hole.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right, well, he's writing, what can I do if I'm bored with the church?
Okay.
We might be experts.
certainly am.
The first time on this podcast, we're like, speaking from an area of expertise.
Right.
I got some ideas.
Today I was like, I am ready for this podcast. Yeah.
Try daydreaming.
Word searches. Those are fun. Yeah. You can count the bricks on the wall.
I know. Usually my grocery list makes an appearance at some point.
Yeah. People watch. Yeah.
I was on a mission trip when I was an intern, and I was sitting next to a kid in church, and we were visiting their home church. So it was the church that they'd grown up on. We were traveling from one place to another, and we happened to stop at their home church. And she looked over at me halfway through the sermon, and she's like, "Do you want to know how many bricks are on the wall behind the pulpit?" And she's like, rattled off a number. I was like, "Why do you know that?" And she's like, "Because I counted them every Sunday as a child." Like, all right.
Oof. Every Sunday. I mean,
yeah.
You feel like once you did it once, like, you know, got the amount of bricks.
I mean, at some point, you forget. I don't know. Yeah. She was young. Was, yeah. Yeah.
She had to look like she was paying attention. That's actually a pretty genius, like, because you have to look like at look the pulpit, sort of, and hold still. Yeah.
Yeah. You're focused. Yeah. You know, in
touch. My strategy is to actually read my Bible.
Oh. Whoa.
Because, like, one.
Set up overachiever.
Yeah.
Exactly. Who's going to be mad about you reading your Bible? True.
They're going to think you're having a real moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, you know. Like, yeah.
Not you reading the same sentence five times over and over.
The Bible with this comic book inside of it.
Right. Yeah, or to take the bulletin and a pencil and, like, fill in, like, all the circled, like, letters.
Oh, yeah,
like O's
fill
and A's
in the,
and A's and things like that.
It's classic.
Look like, hey, he's taking notes.
Yeah, right. I love it.
I'm not taking notes. All right. What do you do if you're bored? And I don't think this is means, like, you're in a boring church service. Like, it's like the idea of church just bores you right now.
Oh, okay. This is like a season of boredom.
Yeah. So maybe let's see.
I call that spring.
Have you ever had
We just got picked up for another season.
Did we really?
Yeah.
Have you ever been bored, had a season of boredom with church?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Great. We're all on the same page there.
All experts.
And I will be honest, sometimes that season came when I was a church employee.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know.
Not me. I haven't been a church employee. But.
Yeah, yeah.
Give it time.
I just get to critique.
That's right.
All right. So maybe before we go into like his, like, what do you do? Let's maybe die. Let's talk about why do we get bored with church?
Because it's boring.
Wow. Okay. Listen. Okay.
So I have
Shots
a theory
fired.
About this.
All right.
Okay. Kind of high level.
Am I going to be insulted by this theory?
I don't think so. Okay. No. This is not specific. We could get specific.
I will point to why you're boring later.
I'm not boring. You're boring.
Okay, but if you take like the specific church out of it, because there are some churches that are real boring, just subjectively boring. I think that part of the reason that we get bored with church is because we have been so conditioned to treat church as an obligation.
Yeah.
And it is, we do not approach it like an opportunity. It has always been this thing that's like, well, if you want to have a good spiritual life, you need to go to church. Or, you know, if you're really in a good season, you know, spiritually, then you will be at church.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and not like, hey, these are things that I believe and I want to be involved with causes I care about.
Yeah.
And I want to have a community of people who are like-minded. And it's an opportunity for me to do both of those things and, you know, maybe also be useful in the process. Like, that's a very different mindset than probably what most of us were conditioned to, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think we do the same thing with anything that we become bored with or go through a season of boredom with, right? I mean, if you're talking to exercise or people who exercise people. If you're talking to people who...
I don't get it.
What is that?
Huh?
If you're talking to people who go through exercise routines, right? Varying your routine is really important, right? You can't just go and say, okay, I'm going to run a mile every day. Like, yeah, you can do that, but eventually you'll get bored. And and eventually your body will get bored. Like, your body will plateau. And if you're not changing it up, then your body won't see gains and things like that. And the same is true for church, right? And so how do we insert ourselves into practices that, okay, we're doing the same thing. And this is the same thing again. And honestly, for me, summer is usually hardest for this, even at Lord of Life, because it is the longest season in which nothing changes, right? And so throughout the year, we have a liturgical year, and we have Advent, which is like 4 weeks, and then Christmas, which is just like a couple days. And then we have, you know, a season of Lent and Easter and all that. And then you're in summer.
That post-Pentecost.
Yeah, yeah, and sometimes that's like a long, like this year, Easter was really early, which meant Pentecost was really early. So summer went from you know, mid-May, and it's still going on now that we're recording at the end of October. Right? Like, this is a long time that nothing has really liturgically changed. And so there, you know, there are elements of that. And so we just got to be aware of how that's happening. And that's part of a church's job, is to bring variety and interest into that process so that it's not the same thing every week. So there is something drawing our attention in.
Like, obviously, there's value and comfort in repetition.
Absolutely.
And kind of experience, like knowing what you're going to get if you're going to church. Mm-hmm. There, and I think for some people out there, they find tremendous value and comfort in that. But the flip would definitely be like, when you do the same thing over and over again, it eventually gets boring. You watch the same, like your favorite show or movie or whatever can become boring once you watch it over and over again, right? Yes. Like, and no matter how much you initially loved it, maybe you'll never quite get that again, but with a rewatch kind of a thing. And so, yeah, I think that can be part of it. Like, I think you just come to church and like, we did this.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to put you on a spot for a minute because you've told me a story before and I'm going to extrapolate and ask a question about it.
Yeah.
Before I came to Lord of Life, you all did a Wednesday evening series or during Lent, I believe, where you did The Prodigal Son.
We did.
And every week on Wednesdays was a sermon on The Prodigal Son.
It was technically right before I came on staff. Oh, okay. So like I was interviewing when they did that. So.
That sounds terrible.
Well, so maybe you can't, but so I was wondering, like, for you as a preacher or as a hearer, was that like a point where, like, by week six of that, like, are we just bored? Because it is the same thing every week. And so I think there are elements where that's really valuable, right? There are times when, like, hey, we're going to hear the same passage several times, hear different perspectives on it. I think that really matters, but I can also see how it would.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't think that this is just like a liturgical church, like the Catholic Church or the Lutheran Church, can definitely find themselves like this repetition could be boring. I think even like you could be bored out of your mind at like the non-denominational laser light show because it would be the same thing you've always seen. Like it can still be incredibly boring as they're like fighting to get your attention in ways that like a liturgical church probably isn't fighting the same way.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not quite have the look over here, no over here, no over here, no over here kind of a thing, you know? Yeah. So, but yeah, I think church can be boring. And so, but I think there's another part of this too.
Okay.
Because we've been kind of talking about like the church service can be boring, but that's not necessarily church. That's not just when we talk about church, that's not just what it is.
Yeah.
But it's easy to kind of like equate the two.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes like in faith, like I'm just kind of bored going to my church and kind of doing life and faith with kind of the same people can be kind of boring. Like I get it. Like I want a rock thrown into this still pond to like mix it up, right? Like I want to feel something different than I'm feeling right now. And I understand that even it's like not necessarily the service is boring me, but like I'm kind of just bored in my life.
Yeah.
And that just kind of like church is not fixing it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is a difficult place because so many people do turn to church for that stability in the midst of chaos that sometimes when everything feels stable, the thing that's always been stable does. Yeah, it flips into that category of I think for a lot of people who are not employed by the church, I think that's where we see seasons of like maybe I don't go during this period. Right. Because they're looking for that variance or that that something to change it up. And I don't necessarily advocate that, I think, but.
Well, it's awkward for you to advocate that. We'll go ahead and acknowledge that.
Go ahead and stay home. That's great.
As somebody who does not work for a church, I wish that maybe we villainized that a little less.
Sure.
Like, there's this idea that like if somebody isn't coming to church every Sunday for a while, that it's like, oh, they've like fallen off the apple cart or whatever. And instead of just being like, yeah, they're probably like into something else right now. And that doesn't mean that they don't care about their spirituality. You know, it could be that they're in a really great spot and feel very stable and grounded spiritually. You know, you don't know, right? Maybe you feel like you do.
I'm just listening.
But like, you don't know, you know, what somebody's reasons are for not being there super regularly for a while. So,
and I think sometimes they don't know what their reasons are.
A lot of people are not approaching it super intentionally. You know, it's just a thing that happens. Yep. There's an ebb and flow and everything. Like,
sure,
maybe we just chill out about it a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, Coughholes has three things that he's going to kind of pull from here. We'll take a look at these. Okay.
Number one.
Number one. Are your eggs in the right basket?
My eggs.
What do my eggs have to do with this?
Eggs are really expensive right now.
Maybe.
You can't afford a basket.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like, you know.
What ivory tower is he sitting in? Come on, Coughholes. You got your eggs in a basket, you lucky dog.
The bourgeoisie.
Maybe this is, we got a little bit of like, you can cook an egg, you know, like 100 different ways or 1,000 different ways or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the fold in the chef hat. Everyone is for a different way to
I've heard,
cook
yeah.
an egg.
I've heard that.
That's learn something new every day.
Yeah. Yep. French are weird. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's,
they are.
So, you know, one thing, but you're cooking a lot of different ways. So maybe it's like church.
Is that what the eggs of the basket
no.
means?
No. All right. He's going to say, when people talk about church, they're usually referring to the Sunday morning service. And I think we kind of hit that. That's, hour filled with music, sermons, prayer. Yeah, that's what it's all about. But for many, this format doesn't fully resonate.
Preach.
The traditional Western right church now? Model may not suit everyone, particularly those with different learning styles or spiritual needs.
Sure.
I hear this. I think like this is definitely one of those ones. It's like, this is what basically every church is like. This is what we got.
Yeah.
And if you're not into it, like, I don't know what else we got. You know, because like we only have one product that we're selling on Sunday morning. It's during church service. And this is it.
Yep.
And if that doesn't work, I don't know what you're supposed to do. And I would get that. Like, I don't know. What else is there? So what would you say if somebody says like that service does not work for me? What would you? How would you kind of approach this from the eggs in the right basket kind of thing?
Are you asking me from a pastor perspective?
Yeah.
So I'd say if somebody came to me as a pastor and said this service is not working for me, I'd want to know what and try to have some conversation about what that's like. And we might find that this is not the right worshiping community for them. And if there are other things that they can articulate, like I really love this or I love this, like we'd still find ways for them to be connected to the community. But if you're not. If you're not able to, for whatever reason, experience a meaningful worship in this space, or if you don't feel like your eggs are in the right basket, like, you know, I'm not going to force you to stay here. I don't think that Lord of Life has the singular hold on the right way to experience God, right? I do think that we have some particular ways that are righter than others, but that doesn't mean that we're exclusively, right? And so if it's somebody with different learning styles, right? And we're just not set up to worship in a way that's helpful for them. Okay, let's find you a place that is, right?
Yeah.
And if it's somebody that's like, hey, I really love the liturgy, but I can't get behind, I don't know, whatever, right? Then let's I'm fine saying let's find you a place, right? Like,
yeah.
I think that's okay.
Yeah. As somebody from experience, there's lots of ways to get involved here that are not Sunday morning, you know?
Sure.
Like there's a lot of, you know, tonight we do like a music meals and more thing at, you know, and there's lots of ways in which you could approach it open-mindedly and say, I want to be involved with this community and I have a tough time committing to being in the same spot every Sunday morning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Sure.
Yeah, I think for many people the moment in their life where they're like, this is a worship that first connected me to Jesus, or I felt best connected to Jesus.
Yeah.
It's natural for us to think like, that's the one that everybody should feel best connected
sure.
to Jesus.
Yeah.
You're like, cause like it worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've been around Lutherans a lot. And so a lot of Lutherans would say like the liturgy, singing, holding grandma, grandpa's hand, and we're singing the same song. And like they, you know, they're doing that. That first connected me to Jesus in worship. And that's what that's what I think everybody would want to do. For me, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, it was camp and, you know, a fire, a guitar, you know, at night, you know, that's what first connected me to like,
sure.
I love worship. And so like, that's easy for me to be like, that's what people should really like.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, so I think we get there, but then we kind of like, what do you mean you don't like that? Because I love it. You know, like, and so it's hard. I think sometimes for the church, it's hard to be like, no, I think you're wrong. Like, it's hard to hear that I actually don't love the thing that you love, you know, and that can be difficult. But I think that this is important, right? Like, we need to ask questions like, well, how do you best connect to God? If it's not this, what is it? And how can we as a faith community support that?
Yeah.
And maybe it means like, we can't if your faith community is in the middle of a big city and you're like, I best connect to God through nature, they might say like, that's just not us.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I think that that's great. I don't think you're going to find that here.
Mm-hmm.
And we support you finding a church or spiritual community that can hit those things. Mm-hmm. We're a city church.
Yeah.
And I think that that's okay to be a city church. Right. Like, and so I think that this is kind of the first. Are you kind of like, are you investing in the things that come back to you? Like, you know, all right. Any other thoughts here?
No, I think it's good.
All right.
Put your eggs in the right basket.
Put your eggs in the right basket. Number two, what are you?
Do you have something else, Lise?
I was just thinking there's like so many creative ways you can approach this, right? Like, let's take that example of somebody who says like, you know, I really connect to God through nature. They're in an inner city church. Like, here's some information about some retreats you could go on, some spiritual retreats, even if it's once a year, you know, like you go and you feed yourself in this way, right?
Yeah.
Like there's, it doesn't have to always be all about, well, this is our programming for Sunday morning and this is what it looks like.
Yeah,
you know, like.
Well, I think churches, we often do a disservice of like, this is what we've got. And so if you're outside that box, we can't help you, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not unwelcoming to say to someone, this is what we can do. How can we help you figure that out outside of what outside of what we offer? Yeah. Right, that's not necessarily unwelcoming. It is unwelcoming to say it's this or nothing, right? Like that's not that's not helpful.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's more of like we do X and we think we do X well.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking for Y, and I don't think we can do Y well.
Yeah,
and but we can find places that can.
But we
do
can
y
help
y
you find Y.
Yeah. And so I think that's okay. Like I don't think every church needs to be like we have to do everything as great as we can be. I think you're gonna. Yeah. I think those churches ultimately. Fall apart because they're trying to do too much.
Yep.
All right. What are you bringing to the church? Point two.
What are you bringing to the church?
What are you bringing to church?
I like that. So the idea here being that you've got to invest yourself into the church as much as receive something out of the church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's, as someone who really benefits from people investing in the church by giving up their time and their talents and skills, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I think he's also talking about like when you show up to church, where are you in your life, right? Because some people in the church are going to be in that service who are like emotionally and spiritually devastated.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in mourning, they're in pain, and they're there. And some people in the church service are emotionally and spiritually celebrating.
Yeah.
You know, like, and they're both there in church and they're both kind of like in that same service, listening to the same songs, hearing the same words, you know, things like that. And so if the context of the sermon or the music isn't like filling where they are, it might be easy to be like, this church is not giving me anything right now. Yeah. without examining where am I spiritually and what does that mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, as I'm kind of like coming into this space. So I think it's important to at least like I know where I am.
Sure.
Right? Like at least I'm getting that. And so like, yeah, like church, if I'm like I'm coming to church, I'm like, church feels boring, but when I do like my own social examination of our own life, like everything feels boring to me right now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like maybe it's not the church's fault, right? Like maybe I'm just in a season of like depression or like things are just not exciting me and I need to figure those things out. And like just to put that all on the feet of the church, I don't think is as fair, you know, kind of a thing.
Sure.
All right. What else we got here? Like, what are you bringing to church?
I already said something.
Oh, okay.
A coffee.
Right, yeah.
Starbucks.
Yeah.
We gotta,
I've been barred from the sanctuary
yeah.
for trying to bring a Starbucks in before, just so you know.
Here?
Yeah. I think that person might not be here anymore that did that. Wow. But so
it's
this is not
me,
a call out, but it has happened.
But it is.
But it is. If you're listening, I haven't forgotten.
Never forget.
Right.
And I agree. Like, if you're only coming to church with the idea of like this place is going to invest in me,
yeah,
I think that you're going to leave ultimately disillusioned and disappointed.
Eventually, yeah.
Like, even if you're going to the most like entertaining church that truly looks, you know, every church service I think should look on some level of like a performative aspect, you know, like at least on some level. But if you're going to the one who like we took the performance and pushed it all the way to 100.
We got
like,
drummers on zip lines over top of you.
Yeah, we're going all in on performance. Eventually, if you're not bringing anything else beyond feed me, entertain me, you're going to leave disappointed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's like most things, right? Like questions of like whether or not your ethics and morality align aside. You get out of what you put into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most experiences in life. And if you just like show up and are apathetic and like don't put any effort into like finding your tribe, for example, like that's going to be a much, I think, less fulfilling experience for you than if you do show up with intentionality and put effort in.
Yeah. I hear that.
All right. Final point. Don't make Sunday service your sole form of sustenance.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Eat all week long.
Yeah.
You don't want to just eat one meal a week.
Yeah, no. I prefer. I'm on like the 4 meal a day model.
Sure. Whatever works, right?
Sometimes six.
Right. Yeah. If I can fit six in, certainly.
But I think that's the variety, right? Like if you're just turning to the same hour a week to fill you up every time, like, and you're not doing anything devotionally, you're not doing anything service oriented, you're not doing anything as a community, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be missing out on all sorts of opportunities to bring variety and variance and inspiration into your life.
Yeah, like I think it's no surprise, like most churches, when they think of like their time and their talents and their resources, are probably giving a large portion to the Sunday morning experience.
Yes.
Like that's just the reality of like that's when you get the most people and have the, you know, the so you're investing the most stuff into that. But I think, you know, quality churches are out there finding ways to like, what are we investing in beyond that hour in church,
beyond Sunday,
you know, for its community and for its people.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it's our Wednesday night stuff, whether that's Bible study that's happening outside of, you know, that Wednesday night mm-hmm. experience, whether it's community building, all those things ultimately provide ways for you to plug in beyond that 1 hour in church, right? Like, and I think that matters.
Yep.
And I think the best churches out there and the most faithful congregations are not just like, we're super full for an hour every Sunday morning.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's it. And I think that those churches ultimately will fall apart because people are asking for more.
Yeah.
And they should be. Like, because that can't fill even the most faithful, you know, parishioners' hearts fully. Like, they're still going to be looking for more. So.
Agreed.
All right, so that's his views on what you should do if you're bored in church.
There we go.
We got anything else?
I think those are pretty good things. I think, you know, have a conversation with somebody would probably be good. Like if you're, like, before you just walk away and be like, I'm bored with that, I'm going to go somewhere else. Talk to somebody in the church, right? Talk to a pastor. Talk to a staff person. Talk to somebody sitting in the pew next to you that you trust, right? And say, like, this is what I'm going through. Is this, like...
Cause that's how you get put on a committee.
Well, but maybe it's like, you know, your perception and they can reflect back to you like, I think you're like missing some of these things and these opportunities to be a part of stuff.
Or they might just know something that you don't know.
They might know something
like,
you don't
know. Has anybody told you about
this? Or they might say, you're right. Like, this has been a real boring season and I don't know what's going on here. And like, you know, maybe find some compatibility there or at least some outside information to challenge your own biases.
Yeah.
Or also some empathy of like, I understand there are times I've been bored with church too.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes I was receiving a paycheck from that church and I was kind of bored by it. So like, you know, like that happens, you know, amongst even the most, you know, godly of church workers. And I put myself amongst them. So.
Wow. Okay. You heard it here first, folks.
Great.
All right. Any other thoughts?
No, I'm all set.
Okay.
Daydreaming. It's okay. You can daydream.
Yep.
We don't have any bricks for you to count at Lord of Life. We've got a drywall. You could count the organ.
I did. Things, there was pipes. Not too long ago, you did a sermon on rest and somebody passed all the
That's
way
true.
Out during it asleep. So, and that was a really good moment.
You crushed it.
I know. That, very effective preaching.
That person was like,
I can.
Not only am I on board, I'm doing it right. I'm going to do it right now.
I'm so moved by his words.
Yeah. They
I'm
were
going
practicing
to fall
what you were preaching.
Immediately. Yeah.
You know, it is kind of a shame that like kids get Legos to play with in church. I need some Legos. You know?
You can take the Legos anytime you want.
We need to remove the Lego stigma of like...
You are welcome to steal the Legos from any child that you see.
I kind of do from my own kids.
Yeah,
you know,
see, there
you
go. So.
Like, well, they don't need those anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, thanks for listening. Go ahead, do your closing.
Oh, yeah. Hey, if you liked this episode, send us your thoughts on times when you've been bored. In fact... Here's what we want. We want you to send in your emails about which podcast episodes you were most bored by.
Oh.
We want to hear about it.
They just didn't finish it.
Oh, if they were bored, they just didn't finish it?
If I listen to a podcast and I'm bored, I just move on to the new podcast.
Nah, plenty of people like listen all the way through thinking it's going to get better and then are just disappointed.
Yeah, but if that's you for this podcast, we're sorry.
Yeah.
And you should have known better.
That's right. You can send that to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. You can find all of our episodes, which hopefully are not boring at all, at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
All right, and let us know what you do when you're bored in church, too. I want some
good.
New tips and tricks.
That's true. What you got?
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.
I preach when I'm bored.